Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Technical Education here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, you may have missed this, but California held an Automotive Career Education Day recently. I guess the good people in California determined that there's a nationwide shortage of automotive repair technicians.
Well, and there is.
So this Automotive Career Education Day was set up to encourage kids to go into the automotive repair field. And they did a pretty good job. But we have a couple of suggestions for more effective ways to lure kids into the profession next year.
Yeah, I mean,
for one thing,
I mean, they didn't combine their little Automotive Career Education Day with the boat show.
Oh,
I mean, that
gross
was
oversight.
That was a fatal error.
And secondly, show them how simple it is to be a mechanic. For instance, here are a few simple multiple choice questions that illustrate how intuitive it is. Question number one. A customer comes in complaining of an engine noise when the car is cold. Do you A, ask for more details and collect as much information about the noise as you can?
Mm-hmm.
B, ask the customer to take a test drive with you so you can make sure you hear the noise? Or C, nod your head as the customer talks and you draw pictures of Xena Warrior Princess on your clipboard?
C. I go for C. So how am I doing?
Great. Question two.
Yeah, lay it on me.
You get unexpectedly busy at the shop that day, and by 3 o'clock you haven't even touched the customer's car. Do you A, call the customer, apologize, and ask if you can possibly keep it another day?
Come on.
B, call the customer, apologize, and offer to make another appointment at his earliest convenience?
Nah.
Or C, wait until the customer comes to get the car and write on the repair order, couldn't get it to make the noise.
C again. I go for that one. How am I doing? Batting 1,000?
Question, you're doing great. Question three, in an attempt to eliminate the noise, you change the belt. The customer pays the bill and comes back a few days later and says that he still hears the noise. Do you A, apologize and say you'll take another look at it right away?
Never.
B, explain that the belt was glazed and needed to be changed anyway, but obviously that didn't fix it, so you'll look at it again right away.
Who writes these stupid answers?
C, pretend you don't recognize the customer and ask if you're sure it was this garage that changed the belt 2 days ago, because a lot of garages look the same.
Are you sure you were here?
Now, if you know what to do in each of these cases, and we have many more, if you need more help with this, we'll be glad to send you the brochure. But if you knew what to do in each of these cases, you, my child, can succeed in the automotive repair industry.
That's going to get a lot of people. Sure, I mean, it's so simple. It's obvious. And this is all it does take. So I don't know why people are shying away from this career path.
Well, I think it has more to do with people getting away from boats, actually.
Ah, that could be. Well, we're having global drying. Yeah, lakes are drying up all over the planet.
Yeah, so what the hell good is a boat?
Remember Lake Erie? When you were a kid, there were five. Remember there were five Great Lakes? There's no Lake Erie anymore. Dried up.
Dried up. Gone, huh?
It's gone.
Boy, it's just
global
drying.
Just goes
to show you what happens when you ain't paying attention.
You ain't paying attention to science. We should do a little science thing every week. Our interpretation of science.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
It certainly would. Look, if you want to talk to us about your car or about global drying or any of these natural phenomena, the number to call is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Zoe Brady from Eugene, Oregon.
Zoe?
Zoe.
Z-O-E from Eugene.
Yes, that's right.
Got it.
Well, I have a little car problem. I have a...
Wait, a little problem or a problem with a little car?
It's both, actually.
Both.
I have a little car and it has a little problem.
Cool.
I have a 1989 Acura Integra LS. It's a 2-door, 5-speed. It's a great car, except when you're in first gear or in reverse and you're going slowly, like in a parking lot or just haven't gotten up a lot of speed.
It lurches like crazy.
Yes, it lurch.
Well, thanks for calling, Zoe. Guess the question. Welcome to Guess the Question.
You know, that's a lot harder to do than to give the answer.
Of course. I mean, anyone can give an answer, but to figure out the question.
That was great. Now, I don't think it's causing any car trouble. It's just that it's embarrassing.
And it's always done this, hasn't it?
Always, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing's wrong.
Nothing is wrong.
Well, nothing is necessarily wrong. However, it could be that your clutch is chattering. And it may be time for a clutch. It may be the way you drive, too.
I assume that it does that even when you have your foot completely off the clutch.
Yes.
Then it ain't chattering.
Huh.
Might be just dawdling.
I think
there's nothing wrong, Zoe.
Well, has it increased in severity?
No. It's always about the same.
Yeah.
And it'll go away if you go faster.
I'll tell you, there are some cars which do this. I've never noticed, and we've worked on a lot of Integras over the years, mm-hmm. that Integras necessarily do this. The worst offender in my book, without question,
yeah.
is a Saab.
Ooh.
I've never driven a Saab that I was satisfied with in first gear, except for the automatics. They're great.
Well, I have to say that, I mean, almost all cars will do this to some extent. And frankly, I have no idea why.
No.
I'm picturing myself being reverse gear. And there I am laying there in the transmission, and power is coming to me from the front shaft. And I'm trying to figure out what do I feel like? You see, I've taken a lot of these EST courses. And it must be a surge of power, right?
Right.
Coming to the gear and why
right.
would it do that?
Why?
Well, because
I mean the shaft is spinning at a constant speed.
Well, it isn't. I mean, it is spinning at a constant speed, but maybe the engine isn't powerful enough. That may have something to do
so
with it.
So you think that would explain it.
Huh.
And therefore, cars with big, powerful engines would do this less.
Yeah, that's...
Except we can't test this theory because cars with big, powerful engines have automatic transmissions.
Oh.
Well, except for trucks, for example.
Except for trucks.
Right.
Yeah.
So trucks shouldn't do this.
Yeah, but they do because they're what? Heavier.
Heavier.
So I might have to do with the critical horsepower
to weight ratio.
I'm sure you've taken this to your mechanic over the last 16...
No, I was too embarrassed because, you know, I just felt like it was the kind of problem that I couldn't get them to recreate, and then they would all laugh, and that would cost me $50.
Well, one of the things that can cause this is incorrect ignition timing. So at the very least, you should have your mechanic check that.
The timing. Okay.
And if that isn't it, just ignore it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. So what should I say to those people who think I'm a bad driver?
Say they all do that.
They all do that. I'll just make a sign and put it in the window.
There you go. See you, Zoe.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for your call.
I mean, it's only shows on NPR where people can bring up critical issues such as this.
Indeed. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name's Paris. I'm calling from Haverhill, Mass.
Paris?
Yeah.
Gee, I once knew a guy. Is that a common name? No.
There's a few of us running around.
There are.
Well, it's a name from Greek mythology.
That's what I was named after, actually.
So what's up, Paris?
Did you ever forgive your parents for giving you this name?
Once I turned about 20, I was actually able to grow into the name. And
oh, I think it's a good name.
It's a good name if you're 6'4", 235.
What's that?
Are you 6'4", 235?
About 6'1", 215, actually.
That's good. Good
name
to
you. Close enough. It's close enough.
Yeah. You could have any name. They could have called you Mary Ellen. It would have been all right at that size. So anyway, where are you from again?
I'm calling you from the bucolic environs of the Northern Essex Community College campus out here in Haverhill.
Haverhill.
Oh.
Yeah. It's really nice out. I didn't realize how nice it was until I started going to school here this year. But...
Oh, it's great.
So what's up?
I got this question. You know, I'm a college student. I'm on a budget.
Yeah?
I'm looking at an 88 Nissan Pulsar NX. It's got some cosmetic damage up front, but they're asking $500 for it, and they say it runs good, you know?
Yeah.
I went to go see it, and they said, oh, you can't drive it because we don't have a license plate on it.
Mm.
You can just, like, you know, turn it on and drive around the parking lot. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to buy something, even if it's $500, if I can't take it out and open it up.
Right.
My question to you guys is, what sort of basic tests can I do, you know, like pulling a plug or whatever, to determine the roadworthiness of this thing besides taking it out and really opening it up, you know?
It's a stick shift?
I believe it is, a 5-speed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my sister had a car. Someone actually gave her a Fiat 128.
Huh.
So we went with her to get it. And it's in the guy's garage, and it has no plates on it, obviously, because the guy had it there for 6 or 8 months.
But it was beautiful because it was what?
Dark. So she says, what the hell? How much can I lose? So this is even a better deal than you. It was for nothing.
Wow.
She got it for nothing. So we get in the car, and she says, oh, it's a stick shift. She doesn't know how to drive a stick shift. We told her she would learn on the way home. So she drives the car home in the dark.
And with no plates.
No plates.
And no experience.
And she can't drive a stick shift, so she's driving, we should say, erratically.
Oh, man.
And unfortunately, she gets stopped by the Lexington, Massachusetts police.
At which point, we jump out of the car and run away.
We book. We figured, why should all three of us get in trouble?
No.
Sure.
After all, we had radio careers to consider. We couldn't be caught with this felon. So we run away. We hide in the bushes while they read her the riot act, tow the car away, and take her away in handcuffs. And while she's doing her best Ralph Cramden,
So, I mean, it does make it a lot more difficult if you can't drive it, but there are things you can do, but it's going to be hard. I mean, for example, will it go on the highway? Well, not being able to take it on the highway, you're going to have to do a compression test.
But you can certainly test the clutch. By, you know how to do that test? You put it in fifth gear, set the handbrake. You'll at the same time discover if the handbrake works. And try to drive the thing away. Put the gas pedal like halfway to the floor.
Really?
And let the clutch out. If the clutch is good, the car should stall. If it isn't, and you can continue to run the engine with the thing in fifth gear and the clutch all the way out, then the clutch is no good.
Right
away, that you cross it off the list and go look at the next car.
Right.
If the clutch is okay, I mean, you can determine if all the cylinders are firing evenly in this car by, with the engine running, pulling one spark plug wire at a time.
Right.
And if you had something like a tachometer, you could actually hook it up to find out how much the RPM drop was, but you could figure, you could hear it.
You could hear it. And it won't tell you that you have good compression. It'll just tell you that you got the same compression in all four cylinders, which might be good enough.
Yeah.
And also you can look to see if there's a lot of smoke, blue smoke coming out the tailpipe when it's first started.
Right.
You can open, take the radiator cap off and see if there's anything living in there.
Yeah, and you really ought to jack up the front and see how bad the front end is. Shake the wheels back and forth and see if the tie rod ends move a lot.
Spin the wheels and listen for any wheel-bearing sounds.
Right.
So there's a lot you can do.
Yeah.
And you can do it in the parking lot.
In the dark.
Really?
In the dark, right.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, I'm kind of coveting this car. It looks like it's really in good shape.
Yeah. You know, and it's only $500.
Exactly, you know?
But it could, if all these things that you test fail, it could cost $2,000 to fix them.
Oh, if any one of them fails, you'd go on to the next car.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
And if you need to drive it at night, call us. We'll accompany you. See you, Paris.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Donna from Seattle, Washington.
Donna, how's the Camaro, baby?
No Camaro today.
No one. I couldn't resist. And it's a stereotype is a terrible thing.
Yes.
It's a terrible thing.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
Well, I need your expert advice to settle a conflict between the men in my life.
Oh, wait, between the men in your life.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Well, let's see.
Not
my,
between
my
you and
my,
the men.
My brother has a warped mind. You do. It could be like her father and her husband or her...
What kind of fun would that be?
There you go.
Who are these men in your life?
Well, about 6 weeks ago, I retired my 87 Toyota Tercel. And I purchased a new Toyota Camry, and I plan to drive that for the next several years.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah. And my husband insists that I must not allow the gas level to go below a quarter of a tank.
He's nuts.
He says it has something to do with the dregs from the engine going into the carburetor.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Yeah, and you have no carburetor in the Camry.
Okay.
So
there are no dregs in the engine. The dregs are in the wine bottles that you got down in the basement.
Yeah, well, the guy's at the office, so I come home and I say, well, dear, you know, I don't like those inconvenient trips to the gas station, and I like to drive it to empty. And the guys at the office say, you know, your idea is ridiculous. The new gas filters and everything do such a good job, I can drive to empty. But he insists that somewhere he heard that I must not drive below a quarter tank.
Probably on our show. I mean, I recommend people don't drive below a quarter of a tank for a lot of different reasons, one of which is that the pump is immersed in the gas and it's cooled off by it.
Yeah.
The fuel pump in this car is inside the gas tank.
Okay.
And the gasoline keeps the pump cool.
Okay.
Because it's, conductive, conducts the heat away. So that's a good reason to not go below a quarter. And running out of gas is another good reason not to go below a quarter. But other than that, this dregs theory is bogus.
Dregs theory.
No water in the tank or fuel injectors that need to be happy or anything like that?
No.
They'll be happy. You have a very efficient fuel filter in this car.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've solved my problem, except that I won't have harmony with my husband now.
Well, who are the men in your life?
Well, the guys at the office.
Interesting.
So we're faced with the idea that we have to tell your husband that he's nuts and the guys at the office that they're right.
Exactly.
Well, considering there are more of them,
And the, are they bigger? Yeah. How big is your husband? Is he a big, strong guy?
He's 6'4".
Don't mention the word nuts, then.
Okay.
No.
I didn't mean that.
Right. Or unbalanced or anything like that.
Oh, wacko. Yeah. We didn't say any of those things except that, yes, he was... In the 87 Tercel, he would have been absolutely right.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's a good way to do
it. How about that?
Yeah.
But tell him that we said that the new technology in gas tanks...
And the improvements, the most recent improvements, I think last month, in fuel filter technology has made this a non-item.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell him any of this. Anything that'll shut him up. It's all complete nonsense.
Yeah, anything that'll keep him from getting violent, especially toward us. See you,
I get it.
See you, Donna.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
There are so many theories, man.
Oh.
I love it.
It's so little time.
So little time.
Hey, look, before we give the answer to last week's puzzler, we have to pause.
What is this, like station identification?
No, union work rule number 27B. After sitting next to you for 20 minutes, I'm entitled to a minute off for hazardous duty. We'll be back in a minute. So searching on a two-lane, the flatlands of Virginia. It'd be easier to find my way. Fresh roasted peanuts and an ice cold Coke ease the pain. Sky was clear just a minute ago, but up ahead it looks like rain.
And even though the Cambridge Wildlife Department decides to relocate a flock of Canada geese to our front lawns whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk...
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish...
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean...
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Here it is.
Yeah.
You don't remember.
I don't remember it at all.
I prefaced this by saying this was a quasi-automotive puzzler.
And it wasn't automotive at all.
Yes, it
as
was.
As I remember. Yes. Oh, yeah, I remember.
It was.
The people at the pool.
There you go.
Yeah.
Some years ago, my family and I went on a little ski vacation in the mountains. And we spent the first day hitting the slopes, mostly with our faces. And after that first day, we decided to spend the next day in the more comfortable surroundings of the indoor. Did I say indoor? It wasn't an indoor. It was a heated pool, but it was outside.
It was outside.
Yeah, a little nippy, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
And our vacation improved considerably from that point on. Well, while we were there, the four of us sitting in our chairs crying out, towel boy! Another family of four started walking toward us. Now, my younger son noticed that there were two very cute teenage girls walking in front of their parents. And he studied them. And after they drew closer, he said to me, they're Australians, you know. And I said, oh, you've met them? He said, no. They're as strange to me as are my textbooks. I said, well, then obviously you've overheard them speaking. He said, no, I've never seen or heard them before in my life. And as luck would have it, they continue to walk closer to us, and they come and sit down right next to us. And before they have a chance to say a word, my son leans over to them and says, pretty long way to come from Australia to do a little skiing, isn't it? And the father says, you're right, mate, it sure is.
Wow! Wow!
And the question...
Now, this kid that he's talking about, in addition to being my brother's son, happens to be my nephew. And that's why he's so damn smart.
That's the only reason. He's my wife's son, too. And the clue...
Yeah.
Which I mentioned at the very beginning...
You said it was a quasi... automotive.
And yet there was no mention of a car anywhere.
Neither on the slopes nor at the pool.
So if that is in fact the clue,
this is great.
There must be something peculiar about Australians. Well, the only thing peculiar about Australians is that they drive.
They eat Vegemite. That's what's
they
peculiar.
They drink warm beer. Can they drive on the other side of the road?
Yes, they do.
And when he saw the four of them walking toward us after admiring the two cute blonde girls that were in front of their parents, he noticed that the father's right arm was tan.
Well, wait a minute. How did he know they weren't Japanese?
There you go.
Yeah, and how did he know that the wife doesn't do all the driving?
It was an educated guess.
What's brilliant about it is the clue.
The clue.
The clue makes the puzzle worth it.
Yeah.
Martin Gardner would be proud of you. Of course, he would turn over in his grave if he heard you.
He would.
What? No.
All right. Well, I guess nobody liked it.
I loved it.
Okay. Who's our winner?
Our winner this week is Paul Long from Edgewood, Kentucky. And for having his answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Paul's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which he can get a set of Car Talk reusable shopping bags.
Hey, you know, these are turning out to be very popular at the supermarkets, at least among people who like to be mocked while they shop.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, congratulations, Paul, for being this week's Puzzler winner. And if you didn't win this week, stay tuned because we have a new Puzzler coming up. In the meantime, we'll take your calls. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Is that enough digits? Is that enough numbers? I don't know.
Yeah,
hello, you're on Car Talk.
Good day, gentlemen. It's Wendell from Memphis.
Hi, Wendell.
Hi. I have quite a problem here, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
Okay, I have a 93 Bronco, full-size, customized, raised to the skies.
So how high off the ground is it?
You got those 8-foot tires?
Yeah, you got it. It's the dream truck. I take it to the mountains in Arkansas. I drive it back home, park it in the driveway, and mind you, this is seconds after I get home. I hear a rumble. I turn around. The truck is engulfed in flames. Fire is shooting from the front window. My neighbors are both doctors yelling at me to run for my life. The side window blows out. By the time the Memphis Fire Department gets here, the truck is destroyed. Now, what happened?
The fire was in the passenger compartment.
Inside. It was inside the truck and blew the windows out.
Cool.
No, it wasn't cool. It's scary.
No, hot.
Yes, very. And very destructive.
So did anyone do any kind of post-disaster investigation?
It's underway now, I might add.
It is.
Yes, they're trying to reach a conclusion.
Right, okay, because the insurance company is going to have to pony up, right?
Yes.
And they want to make sure that you didn't set the fire.
He laughs. Like it would be the first time.
Right.
You don't smoke or anything, like you don't have a cigar burning on the seat or anything.
You drove back from Arkansas.
Right.
How far?
400 miles round trip.
Okay, but in this last trip, it was half of that. So you drove 200 miles.
Yes, sir.
And you did it all in one shot.
That's right.
What did you have on? Heater, air conditioner, radio?
A heater. It had just turned cold here. So this was the first time to run the heater. There's another consideration.
Uh-huh. If it started in the passenger compartment, it almost has to be electrical in origin.
Okay.
Did anyone open the hood and look under the hood?
The thing was on fire.
I mean, after you had the second beer and talked about it with your neighbors. I can see you standing out there saying, oh, man, look at that mess. I mean, did you open the hood just to look or not?
The hood is non-existent. It's melted.
Ah, the hood is melted.
You got it.
Answer one last question. Was your wife cheering?
Perhaps the neighbors were.
The neighbors probably were.
Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps the neighbors were.
Boy. Well, you may never find out.
Oh, no. Are you kidding?
No, they're not going to find out.
Forensic mechanics? He's got the forensic team out there
now? No, remember when Uncle Nunzio was in the car, removal business? They never were able to pin anything on him.
That's right.
I mean, I think the arson guys, they figure out where the fire started.
Right.
And you can tell by where the hottest place and what burned first and all that business.
Except when the thing is really, really burned to a crisp, like you say this thing is.
They may not
be able to tell anything, but they may, but it's going to be hard to point the finger. But, you know, it could have started from a gasoline leak.
Don't you watch court TV? Well, those guys can tell anything.
I know. It could have started from a fuel leak. For example, if it started from a fuel leak and the fuel caught fire while you were driving,
yeah,
okay, you wouldn't know it. And right. then the fire started to burn and melted the insulation off some wires, okay, in the vicinity of the firewall.
Right.
Okay, and those wires shorted out because their insulation was now melted. That, mm-hmm. in turn, caused wires under the dash to get really hot, and
right.
their insulation melted, and it could start a secondary fire.
How right. long after you stopped did the fire take place?
It was a matter of not minutes, but seconds.
Seconds? You were pretty lucky.
I was very lucky.
Has your wife been in touch with the insurance, the insurance company?
Why do you keep asking questions?
I think she might have bought a big policy on him. I'm a suspicious kind. You know, there are all kinds of reasons she could have been trying to get rid of you. But you know, fires can start in a lot of different ways.
But you know what's curious about it, though? That it reached such intensity so quickly.
Yeah,
that's very strange. It is not consistent with an electrical fire.
No, it's consistent.
Which would smolder.
Right.
It would take 20 minutes
right.
to get flames.
Well, it might have been burning while he was driving home. I suspect it was.
Really?
Wendell, you are one lucky devil.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go immediately to Las Vegas and bet on anything.
Well, here we go to Tunica, because there's tons of casinos right down the road.
That's good enough. Good hey. Luck. Maybe you'll win enough to buy yourself another truck.
It's a pleasure speaking with you.
Same here, sir.
Take care, Wendell. Bye-bye.
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 1-888-CAR-TALK. He is one lucky guy. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-78-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Cheryl calling from Chandler, Arizona.
Hi, is that
Cheryl.
With a C or an S?
That's with a C. It's the only way to spell it.
No, it is not.
It is, is the only way to spell it.
It is the accepted way.
Well, there you go. Now
Cheryl
you got it.
Julian doesn't spell it with a C.
Well,
she spells it with an S.
She's obviously illiterate.
Well, we know that. She can't even write. Never mind read.
So I have this challenge. I have a 17-year-old daughter who's been driving an automatic for a couple of years. And we got rid of the automatic, bought a 97 Nissan truck, which seems to fit her personality, except that it was a manual.
Mm-hmm.
So after a couple of nights, it seems that the clutch and the ignition switch in our relationship survived, but she left me with a question that I couldn't answer, and I thought about you guys, of course. She asked me what would happen if
whatever you think of questions that can't be answered,
exactly.
You think of us, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, if
you
I can answer it, I'll feel better if I know they can't answer it either.
Well, I don't want to experiment with this one. I might experiment otherwise, but not with this one. She wants to know what would happen if she's driving along at 35 or 40 and forgets what gear she's in and then tries to shift into reverse.
Oh.
Now, I've explained to her that it's hard to get into reverse, and we've practiced it, but I had no idea what would happen. In fact, somebody said maybe you can't do that.
Yes, you can.
Well,
you can't,
but you can try.
Yeah.
And it's the trying that's going to hurt.
Yeah, that's why they're careful to put reverse out of harm's way, so to speak.
Well, does the motor drop out of the truck? Does it?
No, the transmission will drop out.
The transmission. Oh, okay. So that's not quite as bad.
But, I mean, what's going to happen if you, as you said, it's really difficult to put it into reverse. I mean, you got to push it way over to the side and do all kinds of funny things. And when you try to do it, if you're driving 35 or 40 miles an hour, don't forget everything is going in one direction and you're going to try to make it go in the other direction. So you're going
right.
to hear some god-awful noises.
Right.
And you're going to feel the thing because it's not going to want to do that.
Right.
So hopefully before it chews itself apart, you will have said, oops, and you would have stopped. So you won't really ever get it in, but if you really keep trying persistently to jam it in while it's going, nah! I mean, you'd have to be really nutso to do that.
She is 17.
But you will not. I mean, she
no,
couldn't
she
do
couldn't
it.
Do it. It couldn't. Wouldn't happen.
You can
okay.
do it if you try, and you, in doing so, you will ruin the transmission.
Right.
But she shouldn't even think about it. Tell her to get it right out of her head.
I will. I'll work on that brainwashing right away.
But how is she doing taking this leap to hyperspace here?
She's actually doing very well, especially if I'm not in the car with her.
That's
well, I remember
usually the case.
When I tried to teach my Andrew to drive, my younger son, to drive stick shift, we went around for the requisite 45 minutes of yelling and don't slapping and whatever. And I finally pulled up to the house, and I got out, and I said, drive around until you figure it out.
Right.
And he came back a half hour later.
And he had it.
And he said, oh, piece of cake, I got it. I said, you got it? He said, oh, yeah, hill starts and everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He said, but what's that burning smell?
So, well, I want to teach her the hill starts, but the challenge here in Phoenix is finding a hill to put her on.
Yeah, so. Well, let her get the other stuff under her belt first, and the hill start will come.
Yes.
See
yes.
you, Cheryl.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey, do you know what it's time for, pal?
It's time to rake the leaves out of your MG.
No, not yet. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. Every few weeks, we find out whether the advice we have given out was any good by inviting back one of our past callers.
By the way, for you ambulance-chasing lawyers out there, that's past, P-A-S-T, not P-A-S-S-E-D.
That's correct.
So who's this week's contestant? Tommy.
Farmer Ben from Minnesota. Ben is back to tell us whether or not we correctly diagnosed the cause of the bucking and missing on his 84 Ford pickup. Listen to this.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, it's not the copper.
I think you have a bad or a beginning to go bad electronic ignition module.
Yes?
I think it's very likely that that module is every once in a while missing a beat.
Okay.
And when it does
okay.
that, you will not get sparked to a few cylinders or maybe a whole bunch, maybe more than that, for a split second, and then it'll just jump right back in and work again. I don't know what they cost. You might be able to buy one for between $50 and $100.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, I'll take the one out of the manure spreader.
Well, I gotta go clean all the stuff.
Yeah, we don't need to know. That's good.
Spare us the details.
Good. Okay. Make sure you wash your hands before you have lunch. I bet they'd love to see Ben at the parts store, huh?
Yeah, they got a special isolation booth for him.
Ben, are you there?
How's it going?
Hey,
before we find out what happened with your truck, we have to Carmen Mirandize you, all right?
Yes.
Is it true, Benjamin, that no one at Car Talk or National Public Radio has offered you large cash prizes or discounts on utter cream in exchange for favorable testimony today on Stump the Chumps?
This is true.
Well, so how did I do, Ben?
Oh, man, you guys were so wrong.
All right.
Dirty
I
fuel filter
is the carburetor. I was a manure spreader for one of those, and I couldn't find it.
Oh.
Yeah, you were way off base.
Yeah.
We were?
It was
yep.
fuel, wasn't it?
Nope.
Wasn't?
Nope. There was a vacuum leak behind the carburetor, and it only bothered when it got hot.
Oh,
and
really?
It caused me. I spent $75 and put a new ignition control module on there.
Oops.
And it didn't do a damn thing.
But think of the bright side. When that ignition module does go, you'll have a spare.
That's true.
You won't be at the mercy of any unscrupulous tow truck driver. You'll be able to open your glove box, pop that thing right in there.
I happen to have one of those right here.
That's right.
So think of it. Think how lucky you are to have a spare.
That's true.
Where was the vacuum leak? At the base of the carburetor?
I guess, yeah. They said it was behind the carburetor. It cost me $2 for some vacuum tube. And hey, the fuel mileage went up. It ran better.
Oh,
the
man.
Grass was greener. My kids were better behaved.
I'm trying to find it. Can we play the tape back again? Jeez, I don't know.
All I can say is thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Ben. And we're sorry that we cost you $75. But all you need to do is send that bill to your local NPR station, and they will send you a check for $75. That's the kind of guys we are.
Really? I'll
right.
try that.
You'll get them to pony up.
Okay.
See you, Ben. Thanks for playing.
Bye. Bye.
Now, if anyone out there hears someone you'd like us to invite back on Stump the Chumps, our staff is eager to hear your suggestions. They love to humiliate us.
Yeah.
Drop us a note or email us from cartalk.com and say, I got an idea for Stump the Chumps.
Okay, I've had enough. I think we should take a break.
If you've had enough, then you know that both of our listeners bailed out at least 10, 15 minutes ago.
We'll be back in just a minute.
This bus is getting crowded more and more every day. We can fit them all in, but mister, you're in the way. Explaining to the driver why you don't want to pay, since the bus has got to go right by your house anyway. That lady with the walker and the mom and her son, the chubby stockbroker and the kid into grunge, they all put in their quarters and sat in just one seat, minding their own business, Lord, they don't make a peep. So just keep quiet for the rest of the ride and keep your packages on your own side.
And even though endangered species say, you know, on second thought, take me off that protected list whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Mm.
So you sent this. Kent Hartfield from Texas, somewhere in Texas.
Huh.
And you're going to like this. I think you're going to like it.
Okay.
He says, I was driving my Ford Aerostar down the road in Arlington, Texas, last June, when all of a sudden I heard a muffled bang that was immediately followed by the motor dying. So you got this. He's driving along, Ford Aerostar. All these things are important.
Everything's important.
Pay attention.
You don't have to tell me that, man. I know that every word you speak
driving along
is a pearl.
Boom! Boom. Muffled. Boom. The motor dies. I pulled off to the side of the road and popped the hood. And this has a little hood because the engine is kind of buried. Yeah. And looked to see what had happened. Once I saw what had happened, I thought, gee, this is going to cost a lot to have fixed. I closed the hood, got back in the van, started the engine, and drove off.
Wow.
What happened?
He didn't say where the boom bang came from. But since he opened the hood, we can assume that it came from the front of the vehicle?
Well, I'll give you that. The muffled bang came from under the hood.
Okay.
From the engine compartment.
Engine compartment.
And the motor stopped running.
Stopped running. And he said this is going to be expensive to fix, yet it started right up again. This is puzzling.
This is.
That's what...
My God. If you think you know the answer... Write that answer on the back of a $20 bill or a dried porcini mushroom. Actually, the portobellos are better.
You can put a whole dissertation on that.
There's room for a stamp, too. And send your answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer from cartalk.com. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's the number to call if you want to talk to us. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Barry in Philly.
Hi, Barry.
You guys got to bail me out.
Sure.
Listen, I got a problem, not with my car, but with someone else's car.
You're right there.
This is the situation. I put myself out on a limb. There's a very attractive young lady who works in the same place that I do.
This is how it always starts.
Yeah. Yes.
This is how guys always get themselves in trouble.
An attractive young lady, and then we're done for.
Now, can I just tell you how attractive she is?
Yeah, sure.
She was interviewed here by Playboy, and they liked her so much that she's going to New York for a second interview. Get the picture?
An interview. Now, what in the world would an interview consist of?
Well,
from Playboy.
Well, they want to know what her interests are.
Yeah, I mean, right? Why would Playboy have to even speak to her?
I would answer your question, but then you would alienate the rest of the people who listen to you.
The other three people. It's six, actually.
The other two ladies who listen.
Okay, so suffice it to say that she is
a very attractive young lady.
Yes.
And you, in an attempt to impress her,
yes,
have opened your big mouth, evidently, and said something bad.
Like, I can rebuild your engine.
Is that it?
Well, I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah.
Her windshield wipers don't work. And she doesn't drive this car when it rains. Now, today, it's raining.
Uh-huh.
And she drove the car here in the rain without her windshield wipers. And
Where's here?
His apartment.
To your bungalow?
No, to the place where we work.
Oh, I see.
And she said, gee, my windshield wipers don't work. And I remember, I listen to you guys every week, so I said to her, well...
Let me take a look.
No, I said like this. I said, well, listen, it's probably not your fuse if the rest of the things on your dash work.
Oh, with that deep voice.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I like that.
That's good.
She loved that. So she said, oh, really?
Excellent.
Yeah.
And an excellent response. Oh, really?
Yeah. So I said...
You're in like Flint.
Yes. And I have to move on this. So I said to her, if everything on your dash still worked, it's probably not your fuse. So then I said, why don't I come over after work and check this out for you?
Barry, you little devil, you.
Yes, it worked.
Yeah.
Anyway, if I could fix it.
You'd be a hero. You'd be a hero.
Yes.
You're counting on us.
Yeah, bail me out.
Well, the first thing you're going to have to do is retract your initial statement.
Right.
Because it's very possible.
Don't retract it. Just disregard it. Make believe you never said it.
Okay.
And if she makes reference to it and say, no, that's not what I said.
Okay, great. Okay.
Well, just say, as a matter of routine, you always check the fuses first, even though it's unlikely that it's a fuse. Yeah. Let's check them first.
Dashboard items don't have anything, if much of anything, to do with the windshield.
Yeah, I mean, it's very possible, for example, that the cigarette lighter could be on the same fuse. What kind of a vehicle is this?
This is a 1986 Chevy station wagon.
Full-size Chevy?
Pardon me?
No, it's like a celebrity wagon or something like that.
Maybe an Impala or something.
We don't
Impala
care.
Station wagon. Yeah.
We don't care what it is.
It's important because, I mean, why is this attractive young lady driving a celebrity station wagon? Are you sure she's not married and with a couple of kids and she has sort of neglected to tell you about this?
No, she has a boyfriend.
However,
her boyfriend's in jail.
He's in jail.
Yes.
Excellent.
And I'll tell you why he's in jail.
Yeah, taking pictures of her, probably.
No. He's in jail because he beat up the last guy who fixed her car.
Yeah, that's good. It's safe for you, then.
But I don't care.
No, because
it'll be worth it.
It'll be worth it.
Because he's in jail.
Barry.
Yes.
Okay, the first thing you have to do is find the fuse box.
You've got to check the fuse.
Do you know where the fuse box is?
Under the dashboard.
Well, it's under the dashboard someplace, and usually there's a little thing that says fuses.
Okay,
so you got to get your little flashlight. How's your eyesight? Is it good?
Good.
You'll be able to read the little things.
How's your back? Because you're going to have to lie down upside down to do this.
For her?
For her,
for
it
her
matters not.
On hot coals.
Okay.
Yeah, but more importantly,
yes.
You're going to once you do discover that it's a fuse. I mean, you can have them up and running in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's very likely that the same fuse that works the windshield wipers may work, for example, the cigarette lighter.
Right.
And if she doesn't use the cigarette lighter, she wouldn't know that were out.
I see.
Okay, and it may be that the cigarette lighter is shorted and maybe it's pushed in all the way.
Well, it's not going to be fixed in 5 minutes because...
He's going to milk it.
No, great.
He's not going to have the fuse.
Like 3 days or something?
Yeah.
Barry.
Overnight?
If you find out, I mean, how are you going to find out it's the fuse? You're going to look to see if the fuse is in fact broken.
Right.
And then you're going to have to come back tomorrow.
Yes.
To put in the new fuse.
Great.
For the
tomorrow. Yes, that's 2 days. Great.
That's 2 days. Let's see. We could probably get it into 3 days.
Great.
Let's see. You put the fuse in. How about the new fuse is defective? And you only bought one.
Now, is there a way while I'm laying under the dash, I can ask her to come on under the dash with me to help me, like to hold something?
Oh, I mean, if she's interested in fuse boxes, you could say, hey, take a look at this.
Oh, well, you guys are really helping me out.
Yeah. Take a look at this, and then the two of you, head to head, I can
commune
see it now.
Together.
Head to head under that dashboard.
Yeah, romance under the courtesy lights. I can see it now. Good luck, Barry.
Seriously,
okay.
Barry.
All right.
Try the fuse, and if you put a fuse in and it immediately blows out,
yes,
then it's not the fuse. It is probably the motor.
The motor? Well,
or it could be a short circuit. Usually the fuse box will tell you what that fuse is for. It might say SIG lighter and wipers.
Gotcha.
In which case, it could be the wipe. You might have to do a little detective work. You may have to move in.
Okay.
I mean, you should know. Just keep this in the back of your head that... Short circuits take the longest time to diagnose. So you may have to make daily calls. You know, you buy a short tester. I can see a romance budding here. I mean, this is it.
And I hope you don't get beaten up too badly. See you later.
Thanks, Barry.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Is that with a D?
Yes, it is.
Where are you from, Deborah?
I am calling from our fair city, Jamaica Plain, Boston, Massachusetts.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You know, I've noticed that there are some people who have the name Deborah who don't mind being called Debbie.
Oh, I hate it.
And there are others, like yourself, who absolutely hate it.
Hate.
Is Deb okay or Deborah?
No, that's great. Deb's fine.
Anyway, Deborah, what's up?
Okay. I just bought my very, very first car. It's an 89 Honda Civic. And
It's got 155,000 miles on it.
Ooh.
I just learned how to drive stick, so I'm not great at it. I'm really bad at it. So I stall and I lurch and I buck all over the streets of Boston.
It's all right.
And I'm driving the stick. Well, people are beeping at me.
Pay no attention to them. Pay no attention to them whatsoever. Wave to them. I'm sick of everybody being in so much of a hurry.
Right. You don't even have to use the whole hand. Just one finger will be enough.
No, I mean, enough.
So my problem is...
Just open the window and yell out, I'm having a problem here! And then maybe they'll back off.
Well, the problem is the car makes this really loud whining noise. And I'm not so worried about it that the car's going to blow up, because the previous owner, who's a friend of mine, told me that, you know, it's been making that noise for years. She's brought it into the shop a million times. Every time she brings it in, you know, it stops making the noise. And the mechanics always say, oh, it's no problem. There's nothing wrong with it.
And under what circumstances does it make this whining noise?
Wet, when it's raining or wet or snowing.
Really?
And actually, sometimes it, even when it's not, when it's dry.
And does it do it when you're just sitting stopped or accelerating or when?
When I'm going into first or second gear and I'm just starting up.
So you've put it into first gear.
Yeah. And
you're stepping on the gas.
Yeah.
Have you let out the clutch yet?
Well, you forget.
You're attempting to let out the clutch.
Right.
And as you do that, it goes.
Right, exactly.
So this friend of yours, it's good. I mean, you're still speaking to this friend.
Well, it depends.
So you could find out from this friend if he or she, is it she or he?
She.
If she, like, ever replaced the clutch.
Oh, I replaced it two weeks ago when I got it.
No, because you burned out the first one.
Well, you did. Great.
Well, she sold it to me for $200, and it needed a new clutch, and she wasn't going to repair it, so I kind of took it off her hands and repaired it.
Great.
The
I understand now. And the noise was there both before and after the clutch.
Exactly.
Well, that's
so we're going to eliminate the clutch as a possibility.
Good information. Good information.
Yes.
But it is only... it just like a short little woo like that, or is it woo?
No, it's long. It's like a high-pitched whining, like woo.
Yeah, and when you take your foot off the gas, it stops almost immediately
or it comes
down?
No, it's regardless. It just kind of winds down on its own.
Jeez,
boy,
I mean...
Boy, Deborah, that's good. I have no idea.
Well,
belt comes to mind.
I want to make a confession here.
Okay.
You weren't listening.
I dozed off for a few minutes.
Well, don't worry. I mean, we were only talking about Deborah's friend.
Does it make the noise... If you're not moving?
No.
Does it ever continue making the noise, rather, after you've come to a stop but the engine is still running?
Yeah.
So you can't initiate the noise.
And it will remain there until it finishes doing what it's doing.
Exactly.
Even if she stopped.
Exactly.
As though something is spinning around.
Exactly.
And it's got to finish spinning.
Exactly.
And you know, there isn't a single piece of the car that does this. And that's why we're struggling here. Where do you live?
Just as long as the car's not going to blow up.
Well, no, we're working so assiduously on it, is the car could blow up.
What part of Boston do you live in?
Jamaica Plain.
Can you get over here in half an hour? Gee,
I have a funny feeling. I have a funny feeling that it really doesn't have much to do with the transmission or revving the engine or whatever.
You don't think so?
No, I have a suspicion it is a faulty timing belt tensioner, which will I mean, I don't know why it behaves this peculiarly, but that's the kind of noise that a timing belt tensioner would make, a faulty one.
I like it. I'll go with it.
And it'll stop making the noise. You know, it's got ball bearings in it. And every once in a while, a bearing gets in the wrong place, and the thing will go, ooh, 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 boom, and just stop.
I mean, it would be nice if you could bring it somewhere and make the noise happen when someone could listen.
Well, this explains why they haven't found it,
right.
Number one,
yeah.
Because it's kind of hidden. And it also explains, it satisfies me that it is this because the noise is initiated by revving up the engine.
Right.
Yes, I like that.
And then it continues to do it even after you've slowed the engine down because it's got to that ball is going to get back into place or get chewed up enough to stop making the noise.
Ooh, it's good.
They're going to have to take off the cover. There's a plastic cover.
So this could be bad.
It could be bad because if the tensioner goes bad, the belt breaks and all hell breaks loose.
How much is it going to cost?
Oh, it's cheap. And while they're at it, they might as well throw a new timing belt in there.
A new
If this is what it is.
And it is.
And it is. And you don't do it.
Yeah.
And the timing belt breaks as a result of it.
Yeah.
It's goodbye engine, goodbye car, maybe goodbye Deborah. And
hello, MBTA.
And certainly goodbye friend. So I would definitely have it looked at.
All right.
If my brother is right. And I like it only because I don't have anything else to suggest.
Okay.
See you, Deborah.
All right. Thanks so much for your help.
Good luck.
Okay.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Happy driving, and I hope I don't drive on the only place that you are driving.
Well,
don't drive like my brother or Deborah.
It's happened again. You've squandered another hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his triumph at the Freeport Frap Fribble and Frangelico Freestyle, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin O'Vera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal security man is Muscles Marinara. Our chief prosecutor from the Paris office is Jacques Hughes. Jacques Hughes, monsieur.
Oh, Jacques Hughes.
Our genetic counselor in Rome is Donna Maria, you cousin. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our Greek driving instructor is Adjustes Miros. Our table saw operator is Les Digits. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before, and our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And as always, our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the underemployed valedictorians in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1345, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, ever thought about trying some do-it-yourself maintenance?
Oh, you mean like spark plugs, oil changes, belts, hoses, I mean that kind of thing?
Exactly. We have advice on our website for those of you thinking of giving it a try.
Yeah, but if people do all this stuff for themselves, I mean, won't that be bad for, like, our business?
Do you know how many engine fires were started last year by do-it-yourselfers?
Oh, this will be great for business.
Exactly. Check out our advice for do-it-yourselfers all this week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Carl Castle starts unloading his entire NPR cufflink collection on eBay whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.